Tonight's testimony service was unique, and I don't know if I ever remember one like that, but I want to tell you that it did give me peace about what I wanted to talk about tonight. And then the song that Angie just sang, she basically just preached the whole sermon, so we really could be done, but I wanted to read to you from 1 Corinthians, that verse. The two verses before that list some sins, and this is what the testimony time gave me a little bit of peace about, because a lot of these things we don't like to talk about, and we don't like to talk about the people that do these things. We definitely don't want to lift them up. We don't want to put them in front of our kids and say, be like this person, do what they do. But Paul was, in the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 6, he was trying to correct some actions by people in the church. And the way he was doing it was reminding them of where they were, these two words, where they were and who they are, who they now are. So I won't even read the list of the sins there tonight. And all of us would look at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10, and look at that list and other places in the Bible where the Apostle Paul and others list some sins of the past and say where we came from. But he says, such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So Paul was trying to make a correction. He wasn't trying to browbeat. He wasn't trying to remind people of their sin just for the sake of what they had done. He was trying to call them to something better than what they had been. Occasionally, and again, I was worried about making this statement tonight, but this whole night, occasionally, we should think back and remember what we once were. I know the Bible tells us to forget the things in the past and put them behind us, and when we're doing a work for God, those things can hinder us if we spend all of our focus on them. But every now and then, it's good to think about how close we came to hell, to separation from God, eternal punishment. And again, as was testified tonight, some have experienced some sins, and the Bible uses the words, some of you, such were some of you. But all of us could find ourselves on this list. If we can't find ourselves on this list of sinners, we can find ourselves in the Ten Commandments, or we can find ourselves in another list. And without telling you, I could tell you I have experienced what leads to this list. If I haven't experienced this list, what was testified tonight, I've been on that path before. I might not have got as far down the path as somebody else, but all of us have been on the path that leads to destruction. Every now and then, it's good to think back. It's good to see. You know, when I got saved when I was 11 years old. So if you were going to put me in a category, you wouldn't say, well, Adam got saved out of, you know, a wicked family. That's not true. He got saved out of deep sin. That's not true. But I was headed the same place that many others were headed. It's easy to forget. It's easy to not ever think about it. And it's easy to get ornery. And I think Paul was addressing some orneriness in the church. We were getting ready to come to church tonight. And my two boys, one's 5, one's 2. Aaron had his hand on Arnie's head and he kept bopping him on the head. And I'm standing in the kitchen. I can see out into the garage. Arnie's in his car seat. And Aaron does it once, bops him on the head. Arnie cries. And finally, I'm looking out there, I'm watching all this happen, and I finally said, you know I can see you, right? And Aaron looked up and was surprised that I could see him. But Paul, I think, was saying the same thing to the Corinthians. He said, you know I can see you, right? You know that other people can see the way that you're acting. So tonight, I got 2 points, the were and the are, and then 5 comments under each. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and we'll be done. But it's important to remember where you were. Number one, remembering what we were and where we were reminds us of the unlimited grace of God that could recover even such as us from sins so embarrassing and degrading. A songwriter said, there's a sweet and blessed story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. He in loving kindness sought me and from sin and shame hath brought me. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who could take a poor, lost sinner, lift me from the miry clay and set me free. I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, 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 hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. So number one, remembering that reminds us of the grace of God. Number two, remembering what we were reminds us that we should not give up on the most empty and wretched. And again, testimony service, we covered this, but we were there, we were headed there, and we should not give up on those that are still on that road. I look at the example of Jesus, the example of Christ. He was called a friend of sinners. And it wasn't just the sins that I like to talk about in junior church. It wasn't just the PG-rated sins. He was a friend of a woman caught in adultery. He was a friend of that demon-possessed guy who didn't wear any clothes, the maniac of Gadara. He was friends with thieves and murderers and tax collectors. They didn't stay that way when they became his friend, but Jesus showed himself friendly to these people. He didn't give up on any of them, and not because he thought man was basically good, but Jesus knew that grace was better. He knew that man was not good, but the grace that he offered was better than anything that we can imagine. Paul says, "Such were some of you." And I think he's being very gracious to us as Christians. We put sin in categories. We say, well, I'm not all of those sins. I'm not going to tell you which one I am, but I'm not all of them. And I don't want to identify with all of those sins. But we're all saved from the same depths of sin. We're all carriers of the curse. We all have the capacity and we have the ability. And but for the grace of God, we are all the same sinners. We're all from the same sinful mess. Sin is darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. Sin is death. I want you to imagine you have a dear friend. You turn in the newspaper and you read his obituary. You come to church, you hear it announced, Brother So-and-so's funeral will be here next Tuesday. And you come to the funeral thinking that your friend is dead because you saw the evidence of the obituary and you heard there was a funeral. You get there and your friend sits up and says, I want to thank everyone for coming today to my funeral and celebrating my life. You might be shocked. Then you might be a little bit angry at your friend for messing up your day and telling you that he was dead when he was really not dead. Sin is death. You don't go to a funeral for somebody that's half dead. You go to a funeral for somebody that's all the way dead. And sin is death, and death is dead. I know that's deep, but all sin is death, and all sin is darkness or the absence of light. So whether you see yourself on the gray side or you don't see yourself as bad as somebody else, sin is death, and it's all heading in the same place. And Ephesians chapter 2, Paul said, He hath quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You were dead. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now you are light. You were in the dark, but now you're in the light. In the Lord, walk as children of light. And Paul reminds us, he said, remembering where we were and what we were reminds us that we shouldn't give up on those that are still in darkness, those that are still dead in sin. Number 3, remembering what we were reminds us to be humble. Humility is a modest or low view of your own importance. The book of James, the Bible says that God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And so many times we like to create categories that God does not have. We like to put ourselves in those categories, and then we say, I'm not as bad as somebody else, so I definitely don't have to be as humble as that person. Jesus told the story of the Pharisee and the publican praying in the temple. And both men were sinners, but only one man really knew how sinful he was. And he prayed that way. He humbled himself. He bowed his head. And he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Number 4, remembering what we were reminds us to be grateful. And that just means being thankful, but it also means a readiness to show appreciation. Not just being thankful in our heart, but able to show thankfulness to God for what he delivered us from. When there was a woman in the Bible calls her just a sinner, but they were at a Pharisee's house, and she came in and washed Jesus' feet, and Jesus wanted to teach the man a lesson, the man who owned the house, and he said there were two men that were forgiven a debt, one large, one small, and Jesus said, of the two men that were both forgiven, one large, one small, which do you think will love the forgiver more? Who's going to love that man more that forgave them? And the Pharisee said, well, the one that was forgiven of much. And Jesus said, to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And I just want to tell you tonight, none of us have been forgiven of little. We all got forgiven of a lot. We were all headed to the same hell. There's not different hells for different sinners. We were all headed to the same place, and we all receive forgiveness as a Christian. If you've accepted Christ, if you know him as your Savior, we're all big sinners, and we've all been forgiven of a whole lot. Anybody that deserved hell received forgiveness and has been forgiven of a large debt. We might not see it that way, but that's really the way it is. Nothing will make you more grateful for something than when you think you may lose it. And again, we're not thinking of losing our salvation, but every now and then think back to how close you got to being under the punishment of God, how close you came to losing eternal life because you reject it. I don't know about you. I said I accepted Christ when I was 11 years old. That's when I understood it, and that's when I prayed. My mom led me through the sinner's prayer. But there were other times in life where I heard the gospel, and I didn't accept it. I didn't accept it the first time I heard it. And something could have happened to me before I accepted the truth of the gospel. But those near-death experiences, those times where you see how close you came to losing something dear to you, it makes you that much more thankful and grateful for it. Number five, remembering what we were should give us a deeper understanding of God's mercy for us and for others. Again, it was testified, it was sang about tonight, but what incredible mercy that God showed to us when we were what we were. Compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone when it is within their power to punish or to harm. That same song, from the depth of sin and sadness to the heights of joy and gladness, Jesus lifted me in mercy, full and free. With his precious blood he bought me. When I knew him not, he sought me. And in love divine, he ransomed me. In the book in Titus, Paul said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So our desire, those were the first five, our desire should be that others could be saved because we were there. And if we see somebody else there, our desire should be that others are saved. But as was the case in this chapter, as so many times is the case in our own life, we get distracted and we are able to act differently than what we really are. And that's what these people were doing. These were Christians. They weren't acting that way. So, next five. Paul knew that remembering was important, but we also need to remind ourselves what we are so we don't act like what we were. Number one, you are washed. Washing, this verse says we're washed. Washing is a picture of purifying, being made pure by the Spirit of God. When we baptize somebody, that's what the picture is, and that's why we dunk them all the way under, because we think they need to get clean all over. And sometimes if somebody doesn't get all the way under, we dunk them twice. But that picture of being washed, of making the symbol match what happens in our life. And again, baptism is just a picture, but it shows what we should, as Christians, what happens when we get saved. We get all the way under God's grace. We get all the way immersed in the love and the forgiveness of God. In Hebrews, it says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And it gives that picture of a deep cleaning, doing whatever is necessary to get it clean. If you're cleaning the side of a barn or you're cleaning your lasagna tray, you scrape it, you spray it, you scrub it, you let it soak, you do whatever is necessary to get it clean. And that's what God does for us. From the deepest, darkest sinner to the one person that told one lie and got saved when he was 6 years old, there's no difference. God does what is necessary to wash us, and we are washed clean. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And again, the Holy Spirit is the one that does the washing. He's the one doing the scrubbing and the deep cleaning, and he's the one that tells us when we're clean. We have to yield to him. We have to trust in Christ. We have to trust in the work that he's going to do, but it's not works that we have done. It's a work that only comes from God, and he's the one that can do it. Number one, you're washed. Number two, you're sanctified, and that is a process of purifying that comes after we get saved. If you're here and you're alive, you're being sanctified. It's a work in progress. All of us are works in progress, and we're getting ready for heaven. We're getting more like God, less like the world. The Bible says in John 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And again, we should be less attached to the things of the world and more attached to God. And that's a process. That's saying, I see something in my life that doesn't line up with how we're going to live in heaven. I see an attitude. I see bitterness. I see an addiction. I see something in my life that doesn't line up with heaven. I want to get closer to God as close as I can now, not to attain salvation, but to be sanctified, to realize that we're headed toward heaven. We're headed toward holiness. We're headed toward being set apart. And we use all these fancy words. That just means God can use us. And most of us have a toolbox. Quilters and people that work on their cars, electricians, they have a toolbox. It means they put their tools where they can find them, where they know they're able to be used. And that's what God wants to do for us. He wants us set apart. He wants us usable for him. And sometimes we use all these words and it just sounds like you can't have any fun. You don't do anything that sounds, you know, fun, and don't get in trouble. But it's saying, I want to be available when God wants to use me. I don't want to be distracted by sin. I don't want to be distracted by lust and bitterness and whatever it is. I want to be usable, set apart for God. That's what it means. And Paul was talking to them and he was saying, do you know, in 1 Corinthians 6, he said, you're going to judge the world. The saints judge the world. You're going to judge angels. And he said, is there any wise among you? And he said, why are you sharing your disagreements with people that don't believe in God? It was talking about people taking their disagreements and having unbelievers try to work it out for them because they couldn't do it on their own. And Paul was saying, do you think that's going to win people that don't believe in God? Do you think by dumping your problems on people that don't even believe in God that's going to win them? And you think just because you can do something means that you should? And Paul said in that chapter, he says, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And again, as we talked about tonight, there's things in life that we could say, well, I can handle that. It's all right. It's not going to lead me down the path of destruction. I am mature enough. I can handle it, and it won't hurt me. Well, you might be right. It might not hurt you. But there might be somebody watching you that can't handle it, and they don't understand, and they're a little bit less of a perfect Christian than you, and they might do the same thing that you're doing and not be able to handle the temptation that you've given yourself. We've already said tonight, your body is God's temple. You're not your own. This is bigger than you. This is bigger than us. This is God-sized. You're broadcasting to the world, Paul said. You're telling the unsaved world that the sins that you were pulled out of, you want to jump right back in there, that you're not washed. You're telling the world that you're no different from where you came from. That's not sanctification. That's not being usable. That's jumping right back into the slime of the world that you came out of. And Paul says you're better than this. God's grace, not because you're a great guy, but God's grace makes you better than this. Number three, you are justified. Your sins are pardoned. You're accepted as righteous. You'll be treated with the record of Jesus Christ. There was a heavenly legal binding action when you got saved, and Jesus' record got replaced for your bad one. Number four, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. In his name, you're justified. We read the verses in Sunday school this morning when Peter and John healed the man. They said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That name, Jesus, wasn't there in the flesh, but the name of Christ had enough power to heal a man that was lame. It has enough power to justify us, to replace our bad record with Jesus' righteousness. Paul preached to the Corinthians in the name of Jesus. He said, in his name, the remission of sins has been proclaimed to them. In Luke, Jesus said, it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. In the name of Christ is important. And the world knows this. When they want to say something is life and death, when it's important, when they want to say this is what I mean to say, they use the name of God. They use it in vain, but they know it carries importance. They know it stands for something. They know it has power, and they abuse it. But we preach Christ in his name. We preach justification and salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. And number five, we're justified by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, the person, is at work personally in your life. This one little verse that we read for scripture reading, it tells us the story of salvation. We are justified. We get Jesus' record. We are washed. And that's not something we can do ourselves. It's something that we ask for. We show our willingness to be saved, and the Holy Spirit is the one that does the work. And so tonight, if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we either were or we still are dead in our sins without merit and without hope. If you're a Christian here tonight, that's what you were. If haven't accepted Christ, you don't know for sure that heaven's your home, then you're all the way dead. You're all the way in sin, and you need the life of Christ. You need Jesus in your life. We can be, or we already are washed and renewed by the Spirit. If you're not a Christian, you can be washed tonight. You can get as clean as God says you need to be, and you can do that tonight. And we either are, or are we are being, or we, it's possible tonight that we can be sanctified. We can be made more like God, made more usable for his service, and fit for heaven. Again, that's just a process that we go through. And as I think about the older people in the church, there are things that older people have the ability to be used of God to do that I have no right doing because I haven't gotten to that point yet in my life. There are attitudes that you have. There are things that you have learned in your experience and the ability to control yourself and the situations that you've been in. God has set you apart and God has prepared you to do more than I, as a still younger person, can't yet do. But God's still working on me. And there's things that God has for you to do that he has set you apart, not just you as a person, but he set you apart for this time in your life to say, this is the work that I have for you to do now. This is the work that I've been preparing you to do. And as Christians, we already are, or we can be, made more like God. And we already are justified and pardoned and accepted as righteous. If you're not a Christian tonight, you can be justified. Tonight you could accept Christ, and in heaven your record will be replaced with the righteousness of Jesus. Tonight you can do that. As Christians, we should set an example. We should lead a holy, set-apart life. And again, words that we use, and it makes it sound like a choir is singing and holy, 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 and we think about all the fanciness of it, but it just means that when God needs someone to use, we've prepared ourselves to be ready to serve him. And if we recognize sin in our life, we should forsake it. And again, you could say this was a soft sermon because I didn't even read the list of the sins, but you know the ones that are there. Paul talked about abusing our body. He talked about fornication. He talked about drunkenness and fighting and reveling and all these sins. And I don't know if you find yourself on that list, but realize that you were headed in the same place. Realize that you were saved from the same path. Despite how far or how little you got down that path, you were saved from heading in that direction, going to that end, going toward death. At the end of that chapter, it says, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And the song I read a few verses from, the last verse says, by and by, with joy increasing and with gratitude unceasing, lifted up with Christ forevermore to be, I will join the host there singing in the anthem ever ringing to the King of love who ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who could take a poor, lost sinner, lift me from the miry clay, set me free. I will ever tell the story, shouting, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. So Christian tonight, what were you? You don't have to tell me all the details, but what were you? Every now and then it's good to look back and remember what you got saved from. And you were dead, and you were headed for hell. But what are you tonight? I can tell you, if you're a blood-bought child of God, then you are washed, you're sanctified, and you're a justified member of God's family. That's who you are tonight. And the question I have for myself every day, which one am I acting like? Am I acting like where I used to be or where I was headed? Or am I acting like what I know I am because of God's grace? And that's my challenge for you tonight. If God's laid a little pinprick of a sin on your heart and said, you know what, you're not going to have that when you get to heaven, you better get rid of that attitude that you got now. If it's got something that God's put on your heart and saying, I want to get that out of my life so I can be usable to God. God has a work for me to do that he's been preparing me for, and I need to be ready to do it. And I'm not where I was, where I were. I am what I am because of what Jesus did for me. Where we are is because of what Christ did for us. So let's have a word of prayer. We'll have an invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the songs that were sung. Again, Lord, I believe I've been preaching to the choir. I know these people understand what you saved them from. But help us, Lord, as we realize we weren't just saved from hell. We were given a purpose, a reason to serve you here on earth, a reason to be holy, a reason to be sanctified, set apart for your service. Help us to find it. Help us to get the sin and the distractions out of our life so we can be usable to you. Bless our invitation and bless us this week. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.